daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12. That was abrupt. Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. To my right, it is to my left, it is Stephen Simcox. Below me, it is John Williams. And then I catty corner, I guess, maybe diagonally. Whatever you say, I don't know how to get to her. It is Linda Godfrey. And she is Locked On
Post, Steve Simcox,
locked on Horned Frogs. Then John Williams is Locked On Sooners. We do this every single Wednesday night. It is a Big 12 meeting of the minds. But we're going to do power rankings tonight. Before we get to it, we have a very important anniversary to celebrate. 14 years ago today, Mike Gundy told all of us that he is a man. He is 40, which felt so irrelevant when you go back and watch it. And that he is not going to tolerate you slandering his players in the local paper. Linda, thoughts 14 years later?
Listen, while it brought much needed attention to Stillwater, I'll give him that. Like, if he's good at one thing, it's media and like getting that attention from the mullet to the I'm 40. But I don't know very many grown men that feel the need to like yell their age at a bunch of people.
Any female reporter, mind you, too.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a very grown man way to approach that. So, but you know, I just live with it. Like that's the thing people know. I do fantasy football. I talk to people that live literally all over the world, and they're like, "Oh, so you're that I'm 40 guy?" And you're like, I just wish we could be remembered by something else.
So what's interesting is I you know, like watching it back, like my favorite part is he's like, this is why I don't read the newspaper. It's garbage. And I mean, the guy wore an OAN shirt last year, which like political affiliation aside, like, I mean, nobody's out here being like reputable journalism that OAN is bringing to the forefront. So that part to me is ironic. Stephen, how do you remember Mike Gundy's I'm a man, I'm 40. Rant.
Yeah, the death of print media. Mike Gundy responsible for it. I remember it happening, and that was like my first introduction to Mike Gundy, I think, because obviously Oklahoma State was in the Big 12. Like, I was following the Big 12, but that was the first time I remember thinking, okay, that's the guy who coaches Oklahoma State. It was bizarre. The funny thing is, it would be made now for Twitter, and it still was a huge deal, but I imagine that would have got passed around like crazy on the internet today. And it did back in 2007. Didn't the guy who he defended, didn't he like transfer or leave like a year later?
The kid said it ruined his life.
Yeah. It was not good.
The kid did not appreciate Mike Gundy doing that, which is the ironic part. Now, Linda will tell you this too. It was used as a lot of recruiting material to be like, this guy really cares about your children. And ironically enough, the player that was like, this is awful. I really don't want to hear about it anymore.
Again, I think if as a mom with a child, if you showed me that, I'd be like,
That ain't it, that ain't it. John?
Well, it's like that scene in Dangerous Minds, right? When the teacher goes to stick up for the two little guys that are, they're trying to pick a fight with the big guy. And they're like, and she's like, he's twice the size of you. And they're like, well, now we got to go fight him, right? It's, you know, it's the kid. He doesn't want his dad, his coach, sticking up for him in the media because it makes, you know, maybe it makes the player feel like he's soft and can't handle it. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the best like all time post game meltdowns. You know, right up there with Jim Mora's playoffs and Dennis Green's. We let them off the hook. You know, they are who we thought they were, and I mean, it'll live in infamy forever.
Yeah, I think so. I was like 10 at the time when it happened.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I'm 20. I mean, 24 now. So I was like 10 when it happened.
Yeah, I was like 15.
I think I heard it on the Jim Rome show.
Dang, I'm old.
I heard it on the Jim Rome show because, like, you know, my dad always listened to it. I just heard him. I mean, I think he talked about it like literally all week. Like, he got an entire week of content on it. So I guess. Like, part of it is, too, like, we'll get to Oklahoma State in a second, but, like, the fact that he's still there in a sport where there's really not that much longevity and the fact that Oklahoma State is a top 25 program, like, that's, you know, everything else aside, like, it's pretty impressive he's still actually at Oklahoma State and he's still the head coach and has had a very, very large amount of success at a place that, hey, look, it's not the most, you know, sellable place to
learn. You be careful. Just you.
It's not. He's not the most sellable place to water Oklahoma. I think. Look, I've never been there, so that. Okay. That was, you know, Okay. We'll talk about some Big 12 locations. I got some thoughts. All right. Let's get to these power rankings, folks. We'll get to them as you know. I ranked them 1 to 10. They're pretty. I mean, we only have like 3 weeks to go off of, and it's all non-conference. So, you know, the conference is a bunch of undefeated teams. It's going to be difficult to do, but we'll do it anyway. First, a little word from our sponsors. Not going to sing the Rock Auto jingle, but I'll tell you about rockauto.com, folks. The best place for affordable parts for your car or truck. Thousands of parts, hundreds of manufacturers, carpets, brake lamps, whatever you need in your car, they've got whatever kind of car it is. If it's a work car, daily driver, whatever you got, they will help you out there. Family-run business. Serving customers online for nearly 20 years. Go there today. Make sure you let them know that we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. All right, number one team in the power rankings, it is Oklahoma. Now, not in the boomer. John says boomer. I think the upshot here for them is, if you're an Oklahoma fan, like, sure, it's not going very well, but look at what the team did last year. They improved drastically throughout the season. And at this point last year, they had a loss or two, right, at this point in the season. They don't have that, and they've still played like crap. So the good news is they're undefeated, and the only way to go is up.
Yeah, man, my guy Parker Thune over at OU Insider 247 Sports offered some great perspective on that after the game. He said, you know, they were 1-2, looked lackluster in a couple conference losses, and rallied, you know, got some help in the Big 12, ended up winning the Big 12 championship for the sixth straight time. Now, you know, they're 3-0 entering conference play with a really solid West Virginia team coming to town. You know, the games are going to get tough. I mean, I feel like the Big 12 is as deep as it's been, aside from Kansas, who, you know, is getting better, but they're not going to be ready to compete with anybody. But 1 through 9, otherwise, it's there's a lot of teams that can knock off each other week to week. I mean, it's going to be an any given Saturday kind of a schedule for Oklahoma and the rest of the Big 12. And so, I mean, they're going to have a target on their back, and they're going to have to be ready to play. This West Virginia team is going to be no joke coming to Norman. But, I mean, yeah, there's a lot to like. I mean, there's a lot that they have to improve upon, and I think that's an okay place to be. You know, they're finding some things, especially in the running game, that really wasn't there in that Tulane game. They really found themselves in Nebraska or with the Nebraska game, and I think that's going to serve them well as they head into Big 12 play.
Yeah, their defense is giving their offense time to get better, which I think is important.
Absolutely.
I think that's, you know, and that's not just because of the interception last week. I'm sure everybody's seeing it went viral. Their defense ever since, you know, I know they only play Western Carolina and Nebraska, but they've been playing inspired good football, the defense has. So I think that's important.
I mean, since the Texas game last year, they've only averaged, or after the Texas game last year, they allowed 17 points per game. You know, this year, you know, they allowed a lot to Tulane, shut out Western Carolina, only allowed 16 to Nebraska, which Nebraska played a really inspired football. I feel like they played a really, really good game. Adrian Martinez is a really difficult matchup for any team. And I feel like they played really, really well. Their front four is getting a ton of pressure. And Nick Bonito, Jalen Redmond, Perrion Winfrey, just been fantastic up front. They got some issues in the secondary they got to fix, but it's a defense that's really, you know, thriving at this point in time.
All right, number two, this is where things will get a little weird here. I have Kansas State number two. Now, this is not saying like who is the best team in the best teams in the Big 12 in order. It's just like, hey, how do we feel at this point in time? And because I watched basically the same group at Oklahoma do this thing last year, I feel pretty good about them. Kansas State, thump Stanford. Absolutely thump Stanford. That's a good SIU team that things got dicey against. All right. And they had Skylar Thompson get injured. I mean, they were basically playing a perfect six quarters until Skylar Thompson got hurt, right? And that happens. They got out the win. Will Howard played a really strong game last week against, no, it's pun intended, Carson Strong, who I'm not sure if you guys saw him. This guy's ridiculous. I mean, he's got a hose. He'll definitely be an NFL quarterback. And then I know it was a tie game third quarter, but Kansas State pulled away. We talk about, like, resume. In terms of what's happened, circumstances, and quality of resume, to me – Kansas State's put together a really strong 3-0 that I think can't be ignored. Steven, I'm going to go to you first because you cover a team that also wears purple, so that makes you qualified to talk about this. Your thoughts on Kansas State so far?
Never heard that comparison, but I like it. Yeah, if you're going off resume, I understand where you're coming from. Now, I think projecting forward, the drop-off there with Will Howard is going to be evident. But they played well against Nevada. And, I mean, I think they play good defense. They can run the football. That's a recipe to stay in just about any and every game from here on out. Deuce is a monster. It's a solid team. Now, do I think they're the second-best team in the league? No. But if we're just going off – what have you done for us so far? I see your point as far as putting K-State at number two.
Linda, any thoughts about Kansas State? I know the Pokes have them this week.
Yeah, they definitely have – their run defense is fairly strong. Like, yeah, you've got a good runner in Deuce Vaughn who you like – I'm going to have to not like him this week, but from a week-to-week basis, I root for him so hard. Like Will Howard, I think is going to fall off. I know he put up good points last game, but I don't think he'll perform that well, especially against the Oklahoma State defense. I think it'll be a very formidable opponent this week in Oklahoma State's defense for Will Howard. So resume good. Looking forward, could get a little dicey.
John, besides the anxieties of having to go to play them in Manhattan in a couple of weeks, anything Will Howard put on tape this week, you're like, oh no. He might be competent enough to make it a third straight loss.
Yeah, man, that's a game manager that is managing the game quite well. You know, I feel like Chris Kleiman's game plan for Will Howard was really, really good. Get him off, use him in space, let him run the football, and don't put the game in his hands, you know, to make mistakes. Obviously, as the offenses get a little bit stronger in the Big 12, they're going to be put in situations where he's going to have to make some throws. I actually had Kansas State number two in my Big 12 power rankings for the Sooners Wire. So I see where you're coming on that. But yeah, I think it'll fall off for Kansas State. You know, I love Chris Kleiman as a coach. I think Deuce Vaughn's fantastic. They're going to be a solid team. They're going to make things difficult for a lot of teams in the Big 12, including Oklahoma. But I don't think they're going to sustain that number two seed in the Big 12.
Yeah, part of this was the fact that I could actually get them up here right now because the next five games are going to be underdogs. So I wanted to get them some love right now for their start. All right, number three, Iowa State. You know, this is one of those where it's like, look, I've seen what this group of Iowa State players has done before. Now, this was, you know, if they had a different group of guys this year, I would put them lower because of their performances. But it's, I mean, exactly the same group they had last year back. So Brock Purdy gets back on track against Iowa State. Huge game this weekend against Baylor. I mean, that's a team last year that gave them the full – and I see now, Steven, you're familiar with this, but we saw the full Brock Purdy experience last year against Baylor. The first half, nightmare. Second half, full throttle, incredible half from Brock Purdy. I think Iowa State belongs at three despite their poor performances.
I'm selling on the clones a little bit now.
Nice.
I think they win this week, but, I don't see them as the number three team in the conference. I get it. Like, Iowa's a great team. You know, they're physical, they're hard nosed. They've had their way with Iowa State in the past, but, that just felt like if you're the second best team in the Big 12, if you're a dark horse playoff contender, that's a game you got to find a way to win. And the fact that they weren't even really able to stay competitive, had me giving some second thoughts on Iowa State. So I think three is a little high just based on the one loss and the fact that they were really – I mean, they looked good against UNLV. I know UNLV is a bad, bad team. But what was that, Northern Iowa that they played in week one?
And just quite close.
Squeaked by. And, yes. Like, that's kind of – they lost to Louisiana a couple of years ago. I think they were in a dogfight with another FCS team. That's kind of a Matt Campbell thing. They start slow, but – I just haven't been overly impressed with Iowa State so far.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let's go to number four now. West Virginia. All right, so I think I put them here at number four because they have the best win. Right, that Virginia Tech win by all standards. I think actually I would put Oklahoma State going up to Boise and winning at number two. I think this win was impressive because, good Lord, their offense tried to give this thing away. I mean, every opportunity – Jared Dagey sucks. He is not good. I mean, this is as high as they get probably. Now, that defense, They, you talk about standing tall, wrestling term, standing tall at the end of a pay-per-view, you know, somebody's up there. They got three stops inside the five. Three times Virginia Tech got inside the five-yard line. Three times West Virginia shut them down and did not allow them to score. One at the end of the first half and two in the fourth quarter. They've scored 6 points in four quarters against Power Five teams this year. That is bad. That is really bad. But right for right now, I think Neil Brown's a very good coach. Letty Brown is absolutely fantastic. And then their defense is really good. Problem is the quarterback's not very good. What do you think, John, as you kind of look at the matchup this week with Oklahoma, how do you feel about my assessment of the Mountaineers?
I mean, football is a quarterback's game. If you don't have a quarterback, especially in the Power Five, you're going to struggle. But it's going to be a tough matchup. You know, can the Oklahoma Sooners contain Letty Brown? Can they contain Dante Stills on the interior? That's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. Andrew Rehm took over at center in the second quarter for the Sooners and didn't let it go. He seems to be back from his COVID protocols. Now, are they going to be able to handle that matchup with just one blocker? Or are they going to have to double team, triple team him? It's going to be an interesting, interesting discussion. I actually had West Virginia at number four in my rankings. Number five. Mm-hmm. They jumped up pretty tall. I had a couple teams ahead of them, but I was a big fan of that win. I'm a, you know, old school Virginia Tech fan. My grandfather went there back when it was, you know, they used to refer to it as VPI.
VPI.
Baby. Yeah, Virginia Polytechnic Institute. Yes. Doing that Hokie High. So that was one of my first college football loves. That was a bummer for me to watch. But West Virginia, like you said, that defense, man, they seem to just put out really, really strong defenses every single year, especially in the secondary. It's going to be a tough matchup for Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, they just lost Tony Fields and Tyke Smith. They still look pretty good. Linda, would you rather have Jared Dahey or Spencer Sanders right now at quarterback?
Oh, Spencer Sanders. Yeah, I know Spencer right. Sanders has a ceiling. It's just we got to figure out how to get there.
All right, number five. So, Steven, I put TCU here because it feels like this is the team that maybe, when it's all said and done, we're like, this is number two. They were number two all along. They've only played two games, which is a problem, and they let Cal put up some points on them. I think they're going to look really good this week. I know it's a rivalry game, could be closer, but I'm putting TCU at five. They deserve to be towards the top, I think. But it's been two games, so I can't put them any higher. How do you feel about that?
Come on, Josh. They beat the mighty Duquesne Dukes, who went on the road in Ohio last week.
Did. That's right. That is true.
Then they took down the mighty Cal Bears, who are part of the Alliance and part of the Pac-12. And I think they're 1-2 now. I didn't really check their score last week.
They lost to Nevada. Yeah, they lost to Nevada.
Okay, so all right. So they're 1-2. Beautiful. They scored 30 points in that game, which I didn't know was legal against a Power 5 opponent, given what I've seen from TCU over the past few years. Yeah, that's probably right. I agree with you. I think this is a big game just from the standpoint of SMU's been chirping because they won the Iron Skillet. All great rivalries are fights over cookware a couple of years ago. And so they didn't play last year because of COVID, and they've had this thing for 2 years. And Sonny Dykes was like cooking frog legs in it, and their players have been trash talking.
What is happening? They just beat it's one of them by Hail Mary. As there are people talking about like the quality of Fort Worth as a yeah. town, as a municipality. What's happening?
Right Fort now? Worth Greater.
Yeah, Rashee Rice, one of their wide receivers, was saying that Dallas is better than Fort Worth, and he said TCU is ranked, and which is not true. I wish they were, but they're not.
I saw that. He was like, they're ranked. I was like, what poll? Is this happening then?
In the SMU poll, I guess. So anyway, even though SMU is a good team, this is a game that I feel like they should win by 30 points. And if they don't, then there might be some concern level, because usually this is a matchup where they're not nearly as motivated as the Ponies are, but I think the motivation should be there for TCU. They got some things to figure out, but I think the fact that they were able to put up 34 points on Cal in a game where they weren't super consistent on offense is encouraging. So given what we've seen from the Big 12, I really feel like there's a legit shot that they could be, you know, the second or third best team in the league, but they have to go out there and prove it. And we'll get more of that when they play Texas in a couple weeks, but you got to beat SMU first. So we'll see how that plays out on Saturday.
If they thump SMU, will Gary Patterson write a song about it?
I hope not. I hope he's grinding tape, brother.
Yeah, I hope he is too. Number six is Texas. And so I think the Texas folks who watch this are going to complain about this. But look, you beat – here's the bill on Texas. Against inferior competition, which we saw against Rice, and Rice is not – is barely an FBS team. This version of Rice at least is. Like, when it's inferior athletes, they look really good. When the playing field is even, that's where my concerns come in for the offensive line. We talked about this some last week. I think they might be making the Casey Thompson change because Sark does not have confidence in the offensive line and thinks, hey, down the line, we're going to have to move the pocket some. We're going to need a guy who can get out of there because I don't know if we can necessarily block up front when we go up against Oklahoma and TCU and Oklahoma State and West Virginia. That's my read on it. So I think because of the quarterback situation, because of how horribly they were at stopping them. I mean, they got pushed around both sides against Arkansas. So, John, I'll go to you first on this one. Is Texas at six okay right now? I know they just won 58-0. But, you know, against the competition when it steps up, I feel like they're going to have some issues, especially at offensive line.
Well, if the Texas fans that watch this show don't like you having them at six, they're definitely not going to like the fact.
Many thumbs down coming here.
They're definitely not going to like the fact that I've got them at eight over at the
same time. Oh no.
So let me just say, yeah, that Arkansas loss is bad. Okay. And it's also a little bit that's on Sark. You know, you made a quarterback decision. You went with Hudson Card. You made the wrong decision. Is he going to continue to make the wrong decisions? We'll see. I've just not been a big fan of Sark. You know, like if he's got Alabama's players and Nick Saban's recruits, he's been fantastic. But I mean, what has he been as a head coach other than just kind of a little bit above average? You know, Casey Thompson's fantastic. You know, he was good this week against Rice. He's not a fantastic quarterback, but he was good. Bijan Robinson, still a big time player. I'm just not sold on Texas being back yet. Until they're able to, you know, win early. You know, I think it was Kyle Umlong that posted something that's like for the first time since 1977, they have a head coach that can start 3-1.
Wow.
In their first four games. That's ridiculous to me. It's unbelievable. And so, yeah, I just don't know, man. Texas, just to me, I'm not sold on. I got to see him against some better competition, and I got to see Casey Thompson against better competition. We've seen him before, and he's been okay.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the athletic challenge is what I'm looking at, right? When the athletes and all things are equal, because I'm not saying, you know, Texas in theory actually does have better athletes than Arkansas.
Supposedly,
but they're rough, but they got absolutely flattened at the point of attack in that game. And, you know, that's the thing. I want to ask Linda, you know, when you think about Bijan Robinson, like I'd say after three games, he's the most talented player in this entire conference. So I'm pretty comfortable saying that. Do you think have a guy like that, you have the chance, maybe like you maybe have a chance to even the odds when you got some, that's kind of your ace in the hole in a way.
I don't know, because for somebody like Bijan Robinson to have a good game, you've got to have that strength around him. That offensive line we talked about not being so stellar is not great. So I think he's a fantastic player. I don't know if he's an ace in the hole against some of the offenses and defenses they're going to have to play. I would have them lower than six, but I'm not sold at all on Texas. I'm never sold on the be back memo, but especially this year, it feels like they're very unback.
All right. Speaking of really bad offensive lines, Oklahoma State's at number
7. You said about, specifically we were not going to hurt on, my feelings. On.
This is okay, Linda. We should be friends because you know I am like once again the real estate on people are selling all the real estate on Spencer Sanders Island. I looked into my left, my neighbors are gone. I'm looking to my right, the neighbors are gone again. I'm just left here after he threw, 13 pass attempts last week, in total 80 yards. They got away with one, and I said this the other day, by hook or by crook, Oklahoma State 3-0, all right? And that is because they've been very willing to adapt, right? I know Mike Gundy's a quarterback. I know he's a Big 12 quarterback. I know we've seen his offense slinging around.
Did you know he's a man?
He was 40 at one point in time. He was a man who was 40. But they were willing to adapt last week. And for a guy in Jalen Warden, who I don't think had over 20 touches in a game ever, you know, in college at least, they said, all right, let's just do it. We're going to do it. And it almost cost them later in the game. It should have cost them later in the game, but it didn't. They're 3-0. And that win on the Smurf turf, once again, by hook or by crook. I know they're number seven, but still, this team feels like another one. They could do some leapfrogging if they can get any semblance of consistent offense together.
I've been saying it for literally 3 weeks. I can't say enough. Like, our defense can keep us in any game if our offense can stay on the field longer than a 3-and-out over and over again. And then the first time they scored, we did it in 11 seconds. I'm like, that's great, but our defense is exhausted. It's concerning. And if you're Jim Knowles and you have that defense that's this stout, Malcolm Rodriguez is like the number one solo tackler in FBS. Brock Martin, a fantastic player. Harvell Peel, fantastic player. All these guys. And I would not want to be on the field for the entire game playing for that offense rolled out. That being said, on Saturday, Tay Martin wasn't playing. Jaden Bray didn't play. All of our best wide receivers. We've got like John Paul Richardson and Cale Cabanis, who wasn't even on the 2D depth chart until this week, now that he's made a game solidifying catch. So in fairness, we didn't really have it. I can't fault Spencer Sanders for literally not having anybody to throw to. So taking a step back and looking at that, I understand what the game plan was, but it's just not going to work every week. It worked last week. I don't think it will work against Kansas State. Like we said, they have a great run defense. So we're going to have to figure out a way to get the game going through the air. And I am made me nervous talking about it.
Could be a staring contest between those two teams this weekend. Yeah. But the under, if you'd like some gambling advice, the under might be a smart wager this weekend. All right, three more teams to get to. But first, a word from our sponsors. If you were like me this weekend in the stands at West Virginia in Morgantown, just sweating like crazy, sweat block, friends, sweat block wipes. They were tested on the Rachel Ray Show, so you know they're legit. By probably some very handsome firefighters. 13,000 reviews on Amazon. They're a bestseller there. They've been a bestseller there for 10 years, so you know it's legit. Those wipes, they keep you dry. They have a dry shirt guarantee. Right now, you can go to CVS, Amazon, or sweatblock.com. You can get 20% off there if you use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. For 20% off at sweatblock.com, or you can get it once again at Amazon or CVS. And one final word, our friends at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the best place to get in. Guys, this weekend, I mean, if this is a buffet, you have got college football, pro football, the Ryder Cup. You've also got baseball. You have got a UFC pay-per-view. I mean, there's a Formula One race too. I care about all of these things. If you want to get in on the action, go to betonline.ag today. It's easy to sign up. Once again, iPhone, iPad, computer, iPod Touch, iPod Nano, whatever. If you've got computer, if you've got internet access, you're good to go. Sign up there today. Use the promo code Locked On. They'll give you a deposit bonus when you do. BetOnline, they're your online sportsbook experts. Anything that I miss? Anybody? Did I nail those reads? Or do we have anything
else? Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely.
You did great.
Yeah, take those West Virginia points.
No, did not do that. I think Oklahoma might kill him this week. Yeah. All right, let's get to...
I took the Nebraska points, so...
Yes, that is smart. That is very smart. Number eight, Baylor. 3-0, they've played... I want to call Kansas a trash can. They've played three trash cans, all right? They've played three... I mean, Texas State got beat by some FCS team this week. Who they play second game?
Incarnate Word. They played Texas Southern. Texas State got beat by Incarnate Word.
Yeah. Good.
That's it for them. And then
poor Bobcats.
It was a one-score game against Kansas. Now, look, Kansas. We'll get to them in a second. There was a one-score game in the second half. They managed the game well. Steven, you've been around this team. The calling card is defense and running the football. And so I will say, like, through 3 weeks, it checks out, right? They've been doing the things that we thought that they were going to do. So they're 3-0, but they haven't beaten anybody of substance.
No, they haven't. I will say the one thing that surprised me the most, and it's a little bit of a mirage given the competition, but Pro Football Focus has them as the best offensive line in the nation.
Fraudulent.
And fraudulent. I mean, that O-line has been awful. Like, even when Matt Rhule was there, who is now doing things in Carolina, like, he couldn't even figure out that offensive line. And I know Jeff Grimes, like, that's what he does. Eric Mateos, really good O-line coach, come over from BYU. I can't imagine they flipped the script, you know, that heavily in one season just by running outside zone concepts. But we'll see against Iowa State, because, you know, that's a front seven that can get after you. They've obviously kind of trademarked how to stop Big 12 offenses and build a defense that can do that. So this will be a good matchup. I'm not buying that Baylor's, like, I saw some Baylor fans getting real excited after this win over KU. I'm not thinking that they're a dark horse or anything, but they do look much improved, even given the competition that they're playing. Because they beat KU last year, and the score ended up being like 42-14, but it wasn't like that. Like, this team is better, but they still have a ways to go.
Yeah, they do. I'm with you on that. And they got great test this weekend. But here's the problem with their offense. Iowa State's defense, like, you watch the Iowa game, there was one offensive touchdown drive. It was a legit drive from Iowa, right? I mean, the rest was Iowa State putting them in great positions. And this week, the big question is, if Iowa State's offense puts Baylor, their offense, in good positions, can Baylor cash in, right? Can they make those mistakes count? I don't know if they can. Number 9, Texas Tech. So this – Steve, John, where'd you have them? And yours, I guess.
I had them at 7. I actually had them above Baylor and above Texas, because I just, you know, the Stephen F. Austin win was not great. But I mean, big win over Florida International, a big win over Houston. I just thought they were both solid ones. I mean, they beat them by like 30 points. So, I mean, they did what they were supposed to do.
That's true,
You know, and I thought the win against Houston was solid. I mean, Houston's not necessarily what they were under Tom Herman, but it's a solid program that's about to be joining the Big 12. So I thought that was a pretty quality win after, you know, starting off down 14-0 in that first quarter. So I don't know. Texas Tech still remains to be seen. Are they going to be a team that can play defense? Can Tyler Shuck be consistent enough to lead that offense? I mean, they've got some talent on that offense, but it's just a matter of consistency for them.
Yeah, I'm really – this weekend's game against Texas is super interesting.
Very.
I think their best chance is to make this a good old Big 12 shootout, right? Like, this is – like, let's see if we can get trading scores. What, Linda, you have a reaction?
My notes literally say a, like, big old Big 12 shootout. Like, exactly what you just said. That's exactly what I wrote.
That's what they have to do, right? Because they don't want to slug this thing out. They don't want to make this a low-scoring game. They want to – and I think – I've said this. The goal was for them to punch first and say, all right, match us. Because I think they trust spread it out with their guys and, you know, just kind of – because, look, I think they have three, like, really legit playmakers. I think Taj Brooks, Roderick Thompson, and Eric Ezekama are all actually big-time playmakers. They can get those guys out in space and get things going and just kind of make it into one of those shootout-y games. I mean, they had Texas dead to rights last year. Dead to rights, and they blew it. And I think Matt Wells knows, like, maybe he's looking at a bit more job security. That definitely is if he got that win last year. And he didn't. So I think this is a huge game for them. I think they can make it close, but the athletes thing comes into play here. Like, Texas might be a bit more on the elite side here. Let's go to 10. So let's go to Kansas.
Who is it?
All right. So they suck. They're bad. But
the end.
But the last 2 weeks, the games have both been one-score games in the third quarter, which, like, feels really disingenuous to say, but also as people who have watched this conference, like, it is it's progress.
You got to stop laughing for it not to be disingenuous.
But it's okay. It is progress, right? Like, it's actual progress. Like, the fact that, hey, you know, I took the dog out for a quick walk in Coastal on Friday night, came back inside, third quarter, it's a one-score game on the road against a ranked opponent. Then this game, I was checking into it, you know, the other day, and I was, okay, third quarter, it's a one-score game against Baylor, who's 3-0, whose fan base thinks they're a top 12 team in the country. Like, that is progress, because I will say, like, the one thing about Les Miles teams is, like, they could be – like, Les Miles coached Kansas could be down 40 points in the first half. This group feels like – and, like, the fact that Lance Leipold is, like, something – you know, that's tangible. Finishing games, guys. Like, let's put together a good third quarters. And then once, you know, that inevitably they get to the fourth quarter. All right, guys, let's see if we can finish out the game. Like, they have a building block. They have a win plus two really strong first halves against opponents that are quality opponents. I personally think that's a building block. And I know I'm spending a lot of time talking about the number 10 team, but, like, it's all really important to you know, it's important to us that they get better. So, John, I think that that's actual progress, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you what my boss over at USA Today says. He's a Kansas alum. He just says, I just root for touchdowns. So anytime they score a touchdown, like, that's a win. You know, I think you're right. Building blocks are important. You know, if you're going to build a program that's been as bad as Kansas has been in the last decade, you got to start somewhere. You can't just say, hey, we're going to go win the Big 12. I mean, nobody's going to take you seriously or be realistic. And so the fact that he was able to take this team over kind of late in the spring and have them playing competitively after taking over for a guy who's about one of the shadiest characters in the history of college football. I mean, I think you gotta count some of these things as wins, even though it's not going to show up in the win-loss record. You know, I don't know why, but I find myself kind of pulling for Kansas a little bit.
I went to Missouri and I pulled for Kansas. It
feels weird, but
I'm pulling for Kansas too.
I don't know. You just don't like people, like, teams being bad all the time. Like, you want them to, like, rise up. That's why it was so exciting during the Mark Mangino years, like, when they had them competing for the Big 12 and you saw the Kansas Jayhawk Stadium, you know, just full of people just going nuts over these games where they're winning in the Big 12 and they're, like, making every game competitive. It's just, it's awesome. It's great for the sport when there's a little bit more parity. Now, there's always going to be tiers of teams, and, you know, right now Kansas in that bottom tier by themselves, but if they can, like, just inch their way up and make themselves a little bit more respectable, it's going to be good for the conference and good for every other team in the conference.
Linda, what's your biggest qualm with my list? What is your biggest argumentation point, I guess you could say?
All of them. Well, honestly, here's the thing. It's OU and everybody else, Kansas. So it's really hard to, like, get nitpicky about it. Of course I want my team to be your number two team. Well, like, I'm selfish. It's fine. But ultimately, I think it's fine. I have Texas a little bit lower. I think Texas and Texas Tech are kind of towards the bottom for me. But, you know, we'll finish second and it'll be fine. We'll revisit at the end of the year.
Steven, you share my same opinion that the middle class of this conference is going to be really strong this year. Because I think their middle class of the Big 12 is, like, talk about the ACC, right? They suck. Their middle class is so absolutely crap. Like, Phil Dracovic is gone, and, like, Boston College, I think, is a good leader of middle class, but they didn't miss in their quarterback. Wake Forest might be the second best team in that conference for all we know, right? I mean, this Big 12 conference has a really strong middle class.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you have a good mix of teams that are pretty solid week in, week out. Like, K-State and West Virginia, you know they're going to play a good game, even though they have some limitations. And then you have some other teams like Oklahoma State. I mean, that defense is really salty, and if, like, it is a blessing that they've, you know, had three or four games here where they match up pretty well with the opposing team. You know, you could argue beating Boise State on the road is one of the more impressive wins that anybody has had in non-con play, and they did that with a wishbone QB back there, at least as of Saturday night. I think Spencer Sanders is better than he showed, but he threw for less than 100 yards. So they're finding a way. TCU, I think, has some upward trajectory. Like, I think it's a strong middle class. It's a group of a lot of teams that feel like they are in pretty good shape and could get better as the year goes on.
Guys, next week when I do these, should I add the four teams that are joining the Big 12 into the rankings?
Yeah, I was going to ask you where you had, like, BYU and Cincy. Like, how many teams?
BYU, man, they're pretty high. I mean, they got a couple good wins. I don't think Houston's going to be very high. And then, obviously, UCF takes a spill this past weekend. Do you guys stay game against Louisville? I mean, absolutely bonkers finish.
Yeah.
We had an interception by Louisville and then a pick six by UCF that will, you know, by UCF, returned by Louisville, end of the game. Crazy stuff on that front. But I will say, I've been talking to a lot of people from the new schools. Somebody commented on one of the videos, friends, and said that the other Big 12 schools should get out while they can. No, no, we don't support that at all. No bueno.
Yeah, stick with Bob.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're bulls be gang till we die.
That's a narrative from August.
Bulls be gang till we die.
Yeah, that is a narrative from August. That is true.
That's literally the first time anyone said that ever.
Bulls be hive. Yeah, Bob Bulls be hive. Yeah. I mean, what other choice do we have?
Like, hashtag Bulls be hive.
It's either that or
committed.
We die. So it's one of the two. I'm hashtag committed. Horns down.
Hashtag Bulls be season.
Horns down, whatever it is, to Bob Bulls be. I'm committed. John, where can people find you and your work?
Yeah, go check me out on Locked On Sooners on Twitter at John9Williams and over at the Sooners Wire.
Linda.
You can find me on Twitter at Lindellians and the show is at Locked_On_Pokes.
Steven.
On Twitter, I'm at Simcox Steven. The show is at Locked On TCU and Locked On Horn Frogs is the name of the podcast.
I'm at Josh_Neighbors on Twitter as well as at LO Big 12. And you can find the Locked On Big 12 podcast on YouTube and all the places you guys get podcasts. All right, guys, this is one of my favorite parts of my week. So yeah. I'll miss you all until next Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll miss you.